Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Everett Worcester, and I'll be the presiding officer at this hearing. And now I'd like to have you meet the other commissioners. Phil, do you want to start? Bob?
Bob Everett, Oxford County.
Betsy Fitzgerald, Washington County.
Phil Curtis, Somerset County.
And I'm from Piscataquis County.
I'm Nick Livesey, staff for the commission.
Charles Pray, Penobscot County.
Bill Gilmore, Franklin County.
Millard Billings, Hancock County.
And in addition to these folks, we have Stacey Byer, the chief planner, who's sitting over there. Ben Godzo, out back, he's senior planner. And Mary York, who's the secretary. I have a brief prepared statement. Basically, it's going to explain how the hearing is going to be conducted. The purpose of today's hearing is to allow members of the public to present testimony and evidence on the rulemaking petition to remove Carroll Plantation in Penobscot County from the expedited permitting area of wind energy development. We will first hear from Stacey Byer, representing the Land Use Planning Commission, who will present the staff's statement. Second, we will hear testimony from Nonstar Clough and others requesting substantive review of the petition. Next, we will hear from Wallace Landall, the petitioner circulator, and others pertaining to remove Carroll Plantation from the expedited permitting area. Following these presentations, we will hear testimony from members of the public. During and following the testimony for each witness, members of the commission and the LUPC staff may ask questions. Interested persons, including the requesters and the circulator, may not cross-examine the public or each other, but may ask for clarification through the presiding officer. All witnesses must be sworn and will be required before they give testimony to state for the record their name, residence, business or professional affiliation, if any, the nature of their interest in the hearing, and whether or not they represent another individual, firm, or other legal entity for the purpose of this hearing. Don't panic on this. If you miss something, I'll remind you. There's a lot in there. We will be recording the proceedings today, so I request that you speak clearly. So when you testify, you'll have to come up for the mic. If you have a written copy of your testimony with you, please provide it to the LUPC staff for the record. Anything you submit will be placed on the public record. All testimony and evidence must be relevant to the proposed rulemaking to remove Carroll Plantation from the expedited permitting area and applicable review criteria. Following the close of the public hearing today, the record will remain open for written comments from the public for 10 days until Monday, October 10th, and for another additional week until Monday, October 17th, for rebuttal testimony. No evidence or testimony will be allowed in the record after that date. Updates on the substantive review process for Carroll Plantation removal petition, including links to the Commission's final determination in this matter, will be provided through the Maine Gov delivery email system and posted on the LUPC website. Persons with questions on how to sign up for the email notices should speak with our staff, and persons who wish to receive a paper copy of the Commission's final decision on the petition may leave their names and addresses with our staff tonight. At this time, I will swear in any witnesses who plan to testify today. So if you plan on speaking, please stand. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, state your name. Do swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I'm going to ask Stacy to present the staff view.
Good evening. I am here tonight to provide the staff statement on the hearing for the Carroll removal petition. The petition to remove Carroll Plantation from the expedited permitting area was received on January 4th, 2016. The signatures on the petition were certified by the Secretary of State's office on January 21st. And then the LUPC received a substantive review request on February 22nd. We held pre-hearing meetings with the requesters and the petition circulator in June of 2016. Then two procedural orders were issued by the presiding officer. The first procedural order established a pre-hearing submission deadline of August 3rd, 2016. Staff prepared a summary of all the pre-hearing submissions and provided a copy of the summary and all submissions to the commission and posted those on the website. After posting the summary of the pre-filed testimony, staff received a clarification from the Partnership for the Preservation of the Down East Lakes Watershed for one statement in the summary that I'd like to bring to your attention. The summary provided to the commission read that the PPDLW lists the high-value natural resources of Carroll. That statement should have read that the PPDLW lists the high-value natural resources of Carroll and the surrounding area. Many of the natural resources that they listed were not located in Carroll, but were located nearby. Although testimony and evidence this evening may reference a specific wind energy proposal, this is a rulemaking proceeding and does not involve a specific wind energy project. This proceeding has to do with whether Carroll Plantation, based on the statutory review criteria, should be removed from the expedited permitting area. The location of a place, whether inside or outside of an expedited area, influences whether wind energy development is an allowed use and influences the process that a prospective developer would have to go through to permit and develop a project. In accordance with the Wind Energy Act, if the commission in a substantive review finds the two statutory criteria are met, the commission must remove the specified place from the expedited permitting area. The criteria, again, are criteria A, the proposed removal will not have an unreasonable adverse effect on the state's ability to meet the state goals for wind energy development. And criteria B, the proposed removal is consistent with the principal values and the goals in the comprehensive land use plan adopted by the commission. The Wind Energy Act contains three separate goals for wind energy development, but only the 2030 goal is relevant to this proceeding, which is 3,000 megawatts of onshore installed capacity. Before we go any further, I'd like to orient you a little bit to Carroll Plantation. Carroll is located in Penobscot County. It's surrounded primarily by unorganized territories. However, the town of Springfield is located just to the west of Carroll. For development, there are two existing wind energy development projects in the map view. To the northeast of Carroll, the wind energy projects called the Stetson Wind Projects, and to the west of Carroll is the Rollins Wind Project. Carroll's bisected by Route 6, and there's residential development located along Route 6 and on other local public roads in the township, or the plantation, excuse me. You may hear about certain locations in testimony this evening. For your reference, I'd like to point out Bowers Mountain. It's kind of difficult to see, but it's located generally there. Also, there are 8 lakes rated as outstanding or significant for scenic character, located just to the south of Carroll. On the map, they're shown in a darker blue color, and they're located in this area. Carroll is just to the north of the Down East Lakes region, which was not included by the legislature in the expedited permitting area for wind development. The expedited permitting area was created by the legislature to provide incentive to foster wind energy development, to reduce conflicts, and to encourage the location of wind energy in certain places that were thought to be more suitable. Locations were chosen by the legislature to avoid broad areas of concentrations of public resources. However, the legislature did recognize that site-specific impacts to resources would continue to be addressed in a permit review process. So the next few slides, I'd like to talk about the implications of removal of a place from the expedited permitting area. And you have this handout in front of you. If a place is removed from the expedited permitting area, then wind energy development is no longer an allowed use, and a landowner or developer cannot apply for a permit. If this is the case, there are two options that a landowner or developer could pursue to reestablish wind energy development as an allowed use. And those two options are shown here in the chart. One of the options is to petition the commission to add the place back into the expedited permitting area. The other option is to apply for rezoning to the commission to rezone to a subdistrict that would allow wind energy development, such as a PDP or planned development subdistrict. In preparing this flowchart, we assumed that the preferred option for a landowner or developer would be to add a place back into the expedited permitting area. However, because the criteria to add a place back to the expedited permitting area largely mirror the criteria that are applicable to removal, it's likely that there would need to be a significant change in circumstances or material fact for the commission to find that the criteria to add a place back have been met. An example of a case where if a place is removed from the expedited area is one, an example that could be the case, is if the place is removed due in part to if there was an incompatibility with a group of culturally significant resources and those resources were destroyed by natural disaster. In that circumstance, the circumstances could weigh in favor of adding the place back. Another example is if an entire township is removed from the expedited permitting area and only a portion of that township is proposed to be added back into the expedited area, the material facts could be significantly different, and the commission could find that the criteria to add a place back are satisfied. The alternative is to petition the commission for a rezoning to a DPD subdistrict. The DPD subdistrict is tailored to a specific project. A legally viable example of how a place could be added, a rezoning could occur, is a place is, if it's removed in part due to concerns over potential impacts to scenic character of a local community on a landscape level. If it were possible to site a project and visibly buffer that project from the community in a site-specific design, then rezoning for that may be possible. Talked a little bit about the difference in zoning in the expedited area and outside the expedited area already. But I'd also like to talk about differences for permitting. There are key differences for permitting projects within the expedited area versus outside the expedited area. Within the expedited area, the applicable standards for scenic character and tangible benefits, including a required community benefits package, come from the Wind Energy Act. Outside the expedited permitting area, the standards for scenic character and tangible benefits come from the Site Location of Development Law. Other key criteria for permitting wind energy development are contained in the site law, regardless of where the project is located. In establishing the scenic character standard under the Wind Energy Act, the legislature recognized the benefits of wind and the difficulty that a grid-scale project would have meeting the harmoniously fit scenic standard under the site law. The Wind Energy Act scenic character applies, the Wind Energy Act scenic character standard applies only to views from certain scenic resources. Those are scenic resources designated as resources of state or national significance. And the standard is limited to only within 8 miles of those designated scenic resources. Visibility of the project alone is not enough of a reason to deny a permit. Under the site law, the scenic standard is that the development must fit harmoniously into the existing environment, which sets a very high bar for wind energy developments in most areas. This chart shows some of the differences in processing time and public comment opportunities for projects inside or outside of the expedited area. The Department of Environmental Protection administers permit programs for wind energy and provides several opportunities for public comment during the permit review process, as listed at the bottom of the table. And those opportunities for public comment are the same regardless of whether you're in or out of the expedited permitting area. At this time, I'd like to introduce all of the exhibits pre-filed as of September 27th, 2016, into the public hearing record. The Commission has a list of all of the exhibits. There's a copy of the list at the staff table, and additional copies are available upon request. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the Commission have at this time.
Any commissioner have a question, comment? Thank you, Stacy. I will now ask those requesting the substantive review of the petition to remove Carroll Plantation from the expedited permit area to state their names for the record and offer testimony in support of their request for Carroll Plantation to remain in the expedited petitioning area. The requesters may reserve up to 5 minutes of their allotted time to rebut testimony of the circulator following the circulator's testimony. Northern Star Clough, you're up.
All right. Like I said, I really don't know what to say. I've lived in Carroll all my life. I've looked at Bowers Mountain all my life because it's in my backyard. I guess my question, and I still question it today, what is the reason behind taking out the expedited area? How do you determine that? If it's already zoned to have windmills put in there, why do you want to take it back out and then have to put it back in if somebody commissions to have it done to see if they can put it back there? That's my question. I can't figure out why anyone would want to take it out to start with. I don't see any harm that it does. It's not their ground that it goes on. It belongs to one owner. Why does anyone else have the right to say what one person can do with their ground? I don't see. I wouldn't want to tell you that what you could do to your ground or how to use your ground. I don't see why somebody 8 miles away or 18 miles away have a problem with what goes on in the town of Carroll. We needed that revenue, which is, I know it's gone. I don't look to see the windmills put up there, but I still don't believe that we should have the right to take, or you have the right, to take that out of expedited wind, Carroll taken out. Why would they? That's my question. and I'm sticking to it. I would like an answer.
At some point, after this process is over, we will supply the answer, but we don't have one tonight.
I don't know if I like that answer. But, we're not actually dealing with the LUPC for the most part. We're looking at people that have a problem with their view. That seems to be stuck in every one of these. Everything that was said, everything that was redone, everything that was they thought of between the deer yards, fishing, lighting, it all had to deal with the PPDLW. Their names were brought up in every aspect that we was on. Why? Nobody from the town of Carroll, other than a very select few, was against this when it started. We now have quite a few because it never resolved. If this had gone through, they would have seen a big difference. Town of Carroll is looking at a very, we're in trouble. I guess that's the way to put it. We're in trouble because right now those transmission lines are sitting there. If Sun Edison goes under, which is they're in bankruptcy, that's a third of our revenue that comes into that town on taxes. Where does that leave the town of Carroll? You tell me. People don't realize what the statistics are in the town of Carroll. They don't realize how many people that work or don't work there. All they care about is their view out their back window or maybe sitting in a boat, which is some of them is highly unlikely, because they need that view, or we won't produce our revenue for our pocket. Again, I still ask the same question. Why would you want to remove something that's already there? And why would we want it rezoned? Because I know, and you probably do too, sitting right there, that if it comes back to be rezoned again, it's going to be more added to it than what it is already.
Any questions, anyone?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Not necessarily to answer the question, but just to clarify, the purpose of this hearing is directed by state statute.
Yes.
And the legislature directed a process and a system for people on both sides of the issue, and that's what we're here to hear, and those authorities that are granted to us by the legislature to make that. In a way, it answers your question, it's the process. It's an open democratic process of which the legislature has defined how it will be addressed.
Did you have any other presenter with you?
I do. I have three of us. I think there's actually three more that would like to speak.
Are they going to speak in the public section or in your section?
Two in the public. One in the public and two with me.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Good.
Would the next speaker come up, please? Please state your name and where you live and what your interest in this is.
Hello, my name is Holly Worcester. I'm a resident of Carroll Plantation. I am also the tax collector and treasurer for our town.
Thank you.
I would like to say good evening and thank you, LUPC, for holding this meeting. My name is Holly Worcester, resident of Carroll Plantation, where I was born and raised. I love my town and want it to have a strong future. In the past, we was a town of 7 schools, several stores, farms, and much more. What do we have now? With no businesses, we the taxpayers carry the weight to provide for our town. As we have seen recently, our woods industry is struggling, our mills have dropped like flies, and where has everyone gone? They have left to seek jobs. We invest in our youth education, and where have they gone? Eventually, if we don't create jobs for people to stay here, we will be the park no one wants either. We need to live in 2016, not in the past. To go backwards is not an option. It doesn't matter if it be a wind project or solar panels to be put on the mountain, or maybe we could even put a Budweiser factory up there with flashing lights, someone would be offended. For a project to happen in Carroll, it would be of great financial help in making us stronger for tomorrow and its future. In 2015, our town voted to do a large project to one of its roads, the paving of the North Road. The cost for the project was $320,000 over a five-year term. Our 2015 commitment was $400,234.08 at a mill rate of 18.97. Does anyone know how much the highest tax payment of this commitment was? It was Sun Edison in the amount of $147,049.75. A third of our tax commitment is paid by that one taxpayer for the transmission lines to cross in our town from the project on Stetson Mountain. If we didn't have them as a taxpayer, we wouldn't have been able to improve our roads because our tax mill rate would be between 28% to 30%. Go to your local town office and ask Lincoln, Lee, or Burlington, how does our town benefit from these wind projects? You will probably be surprised. As I close, I just want to say I support Carroll Plantation to remain in the expedited wind zoning area. Please, LUPC, leave our doors open for a brighter future. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to submit that?
Sure.
Thank you. There's one more speaker.
Never follow Holly.
Please state your name and where you live.
My name is, I'll let you know. Thanks. My name is Doug Humphrey, and I live in Maryland, and my interest is that I am that one owner of about 5,300 acres, including Bowers Mountain, in the area that we're talking about right now. My interest in this really is not primarily a monetary interest. It'd be nice. They approached me at first and said, hey, let's put up some windmills. And I'm like, I'm all for that. And I'm all for it because I usually spend about a month up here every year with my kids, my extended family, in a camp that we built up on the property there, just off Bowers Mountain. And it's a beautiful place. I think its only flaw is that there's no cell phone or internet, which drives my wife insane, but I'm good with that, okay? I love it. My kids go out in the woods. They spend, you know, forever finding newts and salamanders and doing things and figuring out where they're going to build the next treehouse and driving an ATV around, and it's great. So I love it. So what's my interest? Well, so I've had that property for a long time, and I'm up here every summer. And Carroll Plantation is a pretty damn poor place, and it's a very poor place. There's nothing here. And the mill stream is closed, and every time something closes, I have to drive a little farther to get, you know, convenience store stuff. I don't have what I'd call a really long view on it, but I have a long enough view on it to know that the place is dying. They had to rebuild a cemetery a few years back, and I and a few other people kind of all privately threw some money in to go rebuild some cemetery stuff because, frankly, you know, it just isn't in the tax base. The tax base, let's talk about Carroll for a minute. Everything they get is for roads or schools, right? They don't run their own schools. They shop out the schools to other jurisdictions. They have to pay for that. I think they put a lot of money in for 911 type services or whatever, but obviously they don't have any money. You look at their budgets, it's nuts. I mean, these guys are running on fumes constantly. So my real thing, I mean, I'll find something to do with the land. I mean, that's not a problem. I love the land. It's great. It's a place to go and be away from everything. Hunting is good. It's great. But the town or township or plantation, I guess, that I'm in doesn't have enough money to do what they really need to do. And I don't mean for me, because I'm only up here a month. I don't put my kids through the schools here. I hope I don't have anything that's burnable for 911. You know, the roads, I guess, are useful to be good. But it's really more, I'm looking at the community that I'm part of, because I own like 20% of the land in the community, apparently. And I go, listen, these guys are in trouble. Sources of new revenue don't come to a place like this very often, okay? Normally, I cut enough land to pay my taxes on land. Can't do that this year. Why? Wood's not bringing any money. I mean, the guy who manages cutting, he's just like, dude, keep your, you know, find it, write me a check, but, you know, keep your wood, because it's not getting anything this year. So I look around, and I go, here's a place, and it's poor. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I love the people. It's fantastic, but it's poor in opportunity. So how often does a real revenue-generating opportunity come to the place where I have a hard time even telling friends where my land is? I'm like, well, you go to Bangor, and then you, you know, it's the middle of nowhere. I love it because it's the middle of nowhere. But revenue opportunities never show up here. And yet, here's one, and it has shown up. Now, I'm not here to relitigate or whatever the whole I'm not putting windmills on my... Okay, that's fine. No problem. The issue really is Carroll Plantation has a special ability. I mean, they were given this kind of special ability to be in the wind-designated area and to access a resource that they otherwise would not have. So if you're looking at Carroll, you're kind of, the Carroll guys are kind of looking at like, wow, here's this thing, and maybe we can get something out of that. And now there's a move to say, nope, let's cut that off. We're not cutting off a project. We're not cutting off something that offends. We're cutting off something that theoretically might someday, something might offend. So my attitude is like saying, you didn't like cars when they first came out. You said, no cars, can't have cars. Well, cars evolved, got a little better. Wind is going to evolve. Who even knows what constitutes wind power? I don't even know. Right now it's big twirly things. It could be other technologies. It just seems a little silly, and this is where I really come to, because I serve on some governmental sort of functions. I'm not talking to anyone in this room. I'm talking to you. And you guys are not individuals in this function. You have the baseball hat that says, you're the commission. Individual hat comes off, commission cat goes on. What is the right thing to do for a landlocked, no lakes, no resources, middle of nowhere place that has this one special thing that the legislature gave them that maybe they'll be able to turn into some revenue someday? Do you slit its throat? Do you cut it off? Do you say, can't even have that? Or do you let it there and say, listen, it isn't carte blanche to just put up anything you want. Hey, they tried to put windmills up for my thing and it got shot down, right? First wind got shot down. So it's already a high standard, obviously, but at least it's an opening and a possibility. If you go and shoot it down this time, I don't know if you saw the procedural differences there, but you know, that's it. It's never coming back. Because the very fact that the criteria to add it back in are the same as the criteria were to take it out, prima facie just blows it away and says you would actually have to have a material difference. And the material difference, you heard the list of material differences. That's a standard now that's almost impossible. Double jeopardy. You can't get there. So I just look at it purely from a commission perspective. I have served on commission, so I understand kind of the, you know, you got to get your personal out of it and say, keeping them in isn't hurting anyone. All of the protections, which we just proved with Bowers Mountain, we just proved those protections work. They're all still there. But at least leave Carroll the possibility that some project might come along, maybe that doesn't offend like the other one did. Some project might come along and generate some revenue for these guys. Otherwise, there's just nothing there. And I have no dog in this hunt. I mean, believe it or not, I mean, you could say, well, someday maybe somebody might put, you know, I don't know, whatever. That's not my point. It's a great place. I'm here a month out of the year, enough to see it and enough to know these people and chat with them. But this is all they've got. I mean, unless somebody, like you said, is going to put a Budweiser factory in or something. I mean, there's nothing out there. And it's, you know, just seems cruel to go shoot it. That's it. Any other questions? Or
anybody have any questions? Thank you.
Okay.
I will now ask those representing the petitioner circulator to state their names for the record and offer testimony in support of that petition to remove Carroll Plantation from the expedited permitting area. So for those of you who are going to speak for the petitioners, please come forward.
My name is Wallace Lindahl, and I was born in Greenville, Maine, 75 years ago. I've lived in Maine all my life, except for serving in the Marine Corps for 4+ years. In fact, last year I stayed at Brunswick Naval Air Station. I've lived in Carroll Plantation for over 25 years. I mention this because of some statements made by local people opposed to my petition. I filed my petition because I don't want another person like Neil Kiley coming up and spending every Monday night in our town office playing Mr. Nice Guy. For many months, he came up from Portland so that people could meet the nice guy he portrayed. And it worked. And the town was selecting a negotiating committee to seek benefits from the windmills. Neil Kiley was there. He suggested someone he knew who he said lived in Carroll Plantation. Can you imagine that? The opposing person. The person we were going to negotiate with, picking someone for our committee. And no one at the meeting knew him or ever heard of him. But the townspeople voted this stranger into the negotiating committee. So when the committee met, we found that this person wanted whatever the wind company wanted and nothing that the town wanted. When we were negotiating with Neil Kiley for any benefits, this quiet, nice guy, Neil Kiley, showed another side of himself. At one point, when the committee was seeking a higher sum of funds for each windmill, Neil Kiley went wild. With closed fist, he stood up and slammed down on the table, as well as yelling at the committee like a raging bull. Mr. Nice Guy showed the other side of himself. As a former union business manager, I have negotiated contracts before, but I've never seen anything like that. Carroll Plantation does not need anyone playing Mr. Nice Guy for months prior to dealing with the community for benefits. If any company ever comes again to do business with Carroll Plantation, we need to deal with them with everything on the level. No fake Mr. Nice Guy. That is why I filed the petition to not have the expedited contract with any company, wind or otherwise, with Carroll Plantation.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you. Do you have others that are going to speak?
What's that?
Do you have others that are going to speak on your behalf, too? Or are they going to testify?
The audience, I would say.
Good evening. My name's Gary Campbell, and I'm a resident of Jefferson, Maine. I own a camp in Lakeville, Maine, near Carroll Plantation. I'm the president of Partnership for the Preservation of the Down East Lakes Watershed, PPDLW. We're a self-funded nonprofit, about 200 members. Some of our members are from out of state. Many of them are residents of Maine. Some are residents of Carroll Plantation. Some of our members have asked me to speak on their behalf this evening, and I'm glad to do it. I'm not here to slit any throats, but I would like to see this process carried out. PPDLW is not anti-wind power. We opposed the two Bowers proposals because they were poorly sited and would have done more harm than good. LURC agreed with us, DEP agreed with us, BEP agreed with us, and finally the state Supreme Court agreed with us. Our members share a deep love and respect for the wilderness values of the Downeast Lakes that fall just south of Carroll Plantation, and we want to see that future generations enjoy the same privilege. Now, for a little bit of context before I address the two removal criteria, if you look, I handed out a few maps there you have in front of you, and if you look at a map of Maine's expedited wind permitting area, you see that everything east of Bangor, from Fort Kent all the way down to Bar Harbor, is expedited. The exception is a circular area abutting Carroll Plantation on its southern border. That is the Downeast Lakes region. This donut hole contains numerous lakes that the state classified as SRSNSs. In fact, within 8 miles of Carroll, there are 18 scenic resources of state and national significance. The two wind projects that were cited in expedited Carroll were denied because of their unreasonable scenic impact on 9 unexpedited lakes. The Governor's Task Force on Wind Power Development, in its final report, explained that the areas left unexpedited are, quote, broad areas that encompass concentrations of ecological, recreational, and or scenic values that are among the most significant in the jurisdiction. It was no accident that they carved out the Downeast Lakes region, leaving it unexpedited. In the Bowers record, there's a joint letter from David Publicover of the Appalachian Mountain Club, Dylan Voorhees of NRCM, and Jennifer Burns Gray of Maine Audubon. In it they write, quote, "We were intimately involved with the drafting of the proposed expedited permitting boundaries. The proposed area," referring to the Bowers area, "lies at the very northern edge of a large area around the Downeast Lakes that was intentionally excluded from the expedited area because it represents a broadly treasured landscape with significant conservation values. At the time these boundaries were delineated, Bowers Mountain was not identified as a potential wind development site," end of quote. This suggests to me that had the task force known that a developer would propose a wind project on Bowers, Carroll Plantation would also have been left unexpedited in order to leave a wind development buffer protecting the Downeast Lakes. In his agency comments, Rex Turner of Maine's Bureau of Parks and Lands notes, quote, "Carroll Plantation is situated in a generally low region of the state of Maine, though modest hills and mountains do rise in the plantation's southern half, south of Route 6. Because the Downeast Lakes are so valuable that they're singled out for protection from wind development, and because Carroll's topography makes its southern border the only conceivable place for a wind project, and because the two Bowers projects were to be located there but were not permitted, we have a vast body of data and analysis from the two Bowers projects that's very relevant to this removal decision without being dependent on the specific project or a specific turbine layout." Let's look at criterion A. As Stacy pointed out, there's been some confusion about this criterion. I read some of the testimony from the Milton removal hearing, and I saw that a lot of those who were against the removal up there, they were quoting the wrong goals. But as she said so correctly, paragraph C is very specific. It's the goal for 2030 that matters here, and it's only the land-based portion of that goal that applies here. So we're talking about a goal of 3,000 megawatts of land-based capacity by the year 2030. There's ample evidence that removing Carroll Plantation from the expedited permitting area satisfies criterion A. First, Maine currently has 927 megawatts of land-based wind capacity that's either operating or currently under construction. That leaves an additional 2,073 megawatts to be installed over the next 14 years in order to meet the state's goal of 3,000 megawatts. The response to the recent New England Clean Energy request for proposals is a solid indication of Maine's wind projects that developers plan to build in the next 4 years. The proposals represent real projects that are in advanced development stages and are projected to be online no later than 2020, which is one of the requirements of the RFP. Proposals were received offering approximately 2,100 megawatts of new Maine-sited wind energy. The 927 of existing and under construction capacity, combined with the 2,100 megawatts in advanced planning stages, already exceeds that 2030 goal of 3,000 megawatts. And if we add to that projects that are being planned, but for one reason or another were not submitted to the RFP, you can be sure that the goal is going to be met with power to spare. Second, Carroll's wind resource is not all that attractive. According to the two failed applications for a wind project in Carroll, the wind resource on Bowers is 6.5 meters per second. According to testimony filed by EverPower Wind Holdings in Milton, in the Milton removal hearing, a minimum of 6.5 to 7 meters per second is required for a project to be economically viable. Carroll's wind resource is just barely viable, and it's further depreciated by several site-related factors. For instance, in order to reduce bat mortality at Bowers, Fish and Wildlife required First Wind to increase the turbine cut-in speed from 3 meters per second to 5 meters per second. And that was from 1 hour before sunset to 1 hour after sunrise, 6 months out of the year. More recently, in response to impacts from disease and man-made threats to the bat population, Fish and Wildlife revised that curtailment policy. They now call for wind turbines to operate at cut-in speeds exceeding 6.0 meters per second. And remember, the wind resource at Bowers is 6.5 meters per second. At the Milton removal hearing, EverPower testified that one of the key factors in siting a wind project is that the rows of turbines have to be perpendicular to the prevailing winds. That's in order to minimize turbulence between the turbines and optimize production. The three existing projects near Carroll, Stetson 1 and Stetson 2 to the east, and Rollins to the west, they're all arranged generally north-south, perpendicular to the area's prevailing wind, which comes out of the west-northwest. However, the Bowers Ridge line runs generally east-west, almost parallel to the prevailing wind. These conditions combine to make Carroll's wind resource, and therefore its potential, marginal at best. Third, the trend now is toward much larger projects of several hundred megawatts using ever larger turbines. Greater turbine heights, improved turbine efficiency, and advances in energy storage mean that future wind development will likely shift more toward lower elevations. They'll go closer to the end users of the power and away from sites like Carroll Plantation that prove difficult to permit due to the impacts on valuable scenic and other resources. PPDLW believes there's more than enough evidence to show that Carroll Plantation is a place that has limited potential for energy generation and would be subject to disproportionate impacts on public resources from wind power development. Carroll Plantation, therefore, provides little value toward achieving the state's goal, and it satisfies criterion A. It can be removed from the expedited area without having an unreasonable adverse effect on the state's ability to meet its goal for wind energy development. Now, criterion B, whether the removal is consistent with the values and goals in the comprehensive land use plan. And by the way, do you always say comprehensive land use plan or do you say CLUP? Does it matter? Oh, I'll say CLUP. Okay. It just sounded kind of clumsy to me, so I thought I'd ask. Two significantly different Bowers wind projects were proposed for Carroll Plantation. After a comprehensive review, including public hearings, Both were determined to have an unreasonable adverse effect on the scenic character and the uses related to scenic character of 9 SRSNS lakes. Both projects were denied permits. Because of this unprecedented history of failed wind development in Carroll Plantation, we have an extensive record of testimony from developers, expert witnesses, contractors, professional wind lobbyists, state agencies, landowners, conservation groups, and the public. We have multiple visual impact assessments, multiple user surveys, site visit reports, maps, site photos, and simulations. I urge you to read both the LIRC and DEP Bowers decision documents because they contain a wealth of data and analysis that will be helpful in evaluating Carroll against Criterion B. The CLUP itself has this to say specifically about the Downeast Lakes region, quote, "A unique combination of geology, natural forces, and climate have combined to produce an area of unparalleled natural resources and values. Lakes abound with names like Pecumsis, Wabasis, and Cicelodopsis, reminiscent of the area's Indian heritage. Stands of white birch, eastern hemlock, and white pine attest to the economic importance of the natural resources that first drew settlers hundreds of years ago. Today, the forest and fisheries to continue to sustain the unique community in around Grand Lake Stream Plantation. This community has more registered Maine guides than any other place in Maine. These professionals provide a vital link between visitors and the complex ecosystem of lakes, marshes, woodlands, bogs, and their wildlife in an area scientists recognize as one of unmatched biodiversity." End of quote. CLUP values diverse and abundant natural resource-dependent recreational activities. The Bowers user surveys show that popular activities include paddling, camping, bird watching, fishing, hunting, photography, stargazing, wildlife viewing, boating, cycling, hiking, ATVing, cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, snowmobiling, and ice fishing. These same surveys show that a wind project in Carroll would degrade the user's experience and that many of the users would decide to recreate elsewhere if there were turbines in Carroll. CLUP values high-value natural resources, natural features, and natural character. There are 18 SRSNS lakes within 8 miles of Carroll Plantation. 4 of them are rated outstanding for their scenic character. Many of them are connected. Many of the lakes provide primitive campsites available to the public at no charge. These are excellent warm and cold water fisheries. Huge tracts of undeveloped land are under conservation, managed for wildlife habitat, public recreation, traditional uses, and sustainable forestry. One of CLUP's goals is to guide development to protect and conserve forest, recreational plant or animal habitat, and other natural resources to ensure the compatibility of land uses. The user surveys conducted for the Bowers applications clearly show that if a wind project were built in Carroll, the public's enjoyment and use of the scenic lakes would suffer. A wind project in Carroll would be incompatible with the local economy, which for over a century has been built on outdoors tourism. In denying the first Bowers application, LIRC commissioners noted that, quote, "The effect of the Bowers wind project is particularly adverse as the record shows that the 9 lakes collectively represent water trails that receive significant use as recreational resources by the public, including the clients of guides and sporting camp owners. Many professional guides and traditional Maine sporting camps would go out of business if there are turbines in Carroll." It's important to note that CLUP specifically recognizes that sporting camps are recreational and cultural resources worthy of protection from incompatible development. In conclusion, the legislature gives you just the two criteria to be met when deciding whether to remove a town from expedited permitting. Carroll's wind energy potential is very limited and is far outweighed by the disproportionate impacts a wind project would have on the region's public resources and local economy. Carroll Plantation therefore satisfies the two criteria, and PPDLW respectfully asks the commission to remove Carroll Plantation from the expedited wind permitting area. Thanks for the opportunity to address you. Would
you like to submit your statement?
I better take my scribbles off it.
Okay.
Can I send in a clean copy?
Sure, you can forward it. That'd be fine.
All right.
Anyone have any questions?
I have one. Yeah. I didn't see it in your presentation, and I don't think I heard it in your verbal presentation, but does your group have the same sentiment with regards to cell towers as you do wind towers in terms of visual
degradation? That's not an issue that has come up. We just were formed in 2009. I think it was December 2009 that we were formed. There hasn't been a cell tower proposed. If there is, we would poll the membership. There is one tower on Almanac Mountain that's a broadcast tower for Maine Public Broadcasting, and it does have one red light that flashes, but that also predates our involvement here.
Since you, in responding to him, you made reference of polling your members, I assume you poll, what's your number of membership?
It's about 200.
Around 200?
190 something.
And did you poll your members on this?
Yes.
And did they all respond, or what percentage responded?
I work real hard not to bother them with a whole lot of polls and newsletters. So when I do, we get a real good response. And I'd put it at about 75% of the people replied.
And were they unanimous or some division?
There was some division. There was concern about the money it would cost and whether it was worth doing and so forth. But that was maybe less than a dozen people expressed that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Would Northern Star Clough like to respond? You have 5 minutes, if you would. You don't have to, but if you'd like to.
My thoughts in listening to Gary was, some of it was really, how I want to say it, has sunk in. He touched on a lot of things. He touched on the recreation. Again, everything went right back to the fact that it was scenic impact, that it involved all of his 200 members. What does scenic impact have to do with fishing, boating, hunting? We are not looking at the sky when we are fishing. We do not look at the sky when we are hunting. Pretty much, like he said, stargazers. And I leave it at stargazers. As the guy, Bill, said, what about the cell towers? That was a very good point, because they, too, are a nuisance if you're looking at the same thing that we're looking at right out that window, and they are blinking. Again, there's no reason, and I still want an answer, why would we want to change something when it's already there? Why take it out when it's already there? Leave it alone. Let us have what we got to work with, because we have nothing. Again, look out the window. You will see two blinking lights, and I just soon see them as to see the people that's in that committee.
I think now we're going to take public comments in the order that you have a list, Stacey.
Herbert Oliver, I believe. Hubert Oliver, excuse me. And last would be Chris O'Neill.
Are those the only three?
They are.
Thank you. If you could keep your remarks to 5 minutes or so, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, I think you believe you, I hope you have the, my written comments here, which I'll kind of use as an outline. Okay, my name is Elgin Turner, and I am currently a resident here of Lincoln, Maine, but I grew up right on the other side of those hills right over there in a small town of Burlington. And finally, I had to move to the city. So anyway, but, and I'm here to oppose the withdrawal of Carroll from the expedited permitting area. And I just want to let everybody know, and most of you know anyway, but that I am associated with Herbert C. Haynes Incorporated and Lakeville Shores Incorporated. And I've been involved in a number of the wind permitting projects in the early stages, usually, in the lease document stage of it. And so, and have been out here too. So, the first thing is, no, I shouldn't be saying it tonight, but I'm going to anyway. I did go down to Augusta. I know why you're here. I know what the process is. Because I went to Augusta at least twice to testify against this procedure. I just didn't think it was right. And I still don't. And anyway, that's all else I have to say about that for now. The biggest thing that I can see from these two projects as the economic development potential and facts that are happening here. Those who drove in on West Broadway tonight can see we got that center turning lane on West Broadway, and I'm well aware of at least two, and probably more than that that I'm not aware of, projects that were proposed for West Broadway, but because of the impact fees from DOT, they had to be scuttled. You know, they just didn't make it. I think that probably is one reason why we don't have a Super Walmart. But one of the reasons, not the only reason. But, and the one that I'm really familiar with more is in Burlington. I grew up 2 miles from these two sawdust piles on Saponic Lake. And they were right on the lake. I mean, the sawdust, the beach was sawdust. It wasn't sand or anything else. It was sawdust. And there's been a number of people. I can think of 4 or 5 different either selectmen or just interested citizens that said, we've got to clean up these sawdust piles. We've got to clean up these sawdust piles. Well, and they still get going. Where's the money coming from? Taxpayer, you know, tax money. So that's one place where these funds derived from the wind turbine has helped this small town start to clean up these sawdust piles. I don't know. I'm not in on the planning stage of it. I don't know what they're going to do, but I've already seen campers parked there at the foot of Saponic Lake looking over across to pass Dumcake Mountain with the wind turbines, but they're packed there for 2 or 3 days because I travel that way quite a bit because I have a family that has land in Burlington. And anyway, I just think from a small town, I think, you know, the people in Carroll deserve that chance to do something like that. They deserve it. And, oh yeah, then the last part of it was, you know, due to my association with the two companies, that I do see, because I'm not involved with the wood harvesting part of it myself, but I can see the impact it's having on everybody that works works in the greater area with, you know, as far as contractors and other stuff, and everybody's cutting back because they just can't. We just don't have the markets like we used to. And I know, well, I don't know. I can surmise that if we didn't have, some of these landowners didn't have the income coming in from these wind projects, that there would be some changes in ownership. These are very lucky, I guess we'll have to say, to be able to maintain your land base and to, you know, keep providing the jobs. I mean, because we're generally wood harvesting. But all right, I guess that's that. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions, people? Thanks, Elgin. Who's next?
Hubert Oliver, and then Chris O'Neill. That's fine. So next up is Chris O'Neill.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission.
I'm sorry. Were you here when the oath was taken?
I was not.
Then I need to swear you in. Would you raise your right hand?
Right in the front foyer, but I didn't have my hand up.
Okay.
Aye.
State your name.
Christopher O'Neill.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the Commission, Chris O'Neill from Friends of Maine's Mountains. Friends of Maine's Mountains is a 501c3 nonprofit that exists to oppose the industrial development of Maine's Mountains, specifically with wind development. FMM has never opposed a cell tower. In fact, I remember getting a call once as I was going up 95 somewhere near the bog, just a little south of here, and a woman said, "Are you Chris O'Neill?" I said, "Yes." She said, she was just up near Stratton, and she said, "Need to help me. They want to put a cell tower up on the ridge behind my house." I said, "We don't oppose cell towers." She said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, cell towers are useful, and they're necessary. Matter of fact, you and I wouldn't be talking right now if it wasn't for the cell towers." You really have two questions here to discuss, and I attended the Milton hearing in Bethel, which was very interesting. Lots of interesting and helpful data, facts, anecdotes, opinions. A lot of it didn't matter, because you have a charge to answer two questions. The wind goals. I'll begin by reminding you that before we ever had an expedited area, before the Wind Act was enacted, Kibbe, Kennetec, Mars Hill, Vinyl Haven, and Freedom all sailed through the permitting process before anybody knew what expedited would eventually mean. So there's no evidence that the expedited, the opting out of the expedited area will have a material impact on a development or a potential development. There was one that was denied that was essentially on the Appalachian Trail at high elevation that had several bird, bat, and wildlife ecological impact issues. And it was done by a developer who couldn't compete with developers today. It was in the early days. If First Wind or Sun Edison couldn't get a permit over at Bowers, the expedited area, whether the project or any project in Carroll is in or out of the expedited area, clearly doesn't matter. There's no impact, let alone an unreasonably adverse effect. That said, even if Carroll's opting out could somehow be blamed, if you could suspend belief for a moment and assert that their opting out would somehow prevent a wind development, the 50 to 75 megawatts of wind installed in capacity there wouldn't have an unreasonable adverse effect on Maine's ability to get 3,000, as Mr. Campbell pointed out. If Carroll opts out, essentially, nothing changes. So if nothing changes, there's no effect, let alone an unreasonably adverse effect. And last, the CLOP. Since nothing changes, and since the CLOP envisions throughout Maine, throughout the UTs, a broad mix of land uses relative to the unorganized territory, relative to the wind, to wind development, and relative to all uses, since nothing changes in that overall mix, then the second criterion is very easy to answer also. We thank you for your time.
Questions, comments? Thank you. There are no more. I wish to remind everyone that the record will remain open for written comments from the public for 10 days until Monday, October 10th, and for an additional week until Monday, October 17th, for rebuttal testimony. No additional evidence or testimony will be allowed into the record after that date. The Commission will deliberate and make a determination on this proposed rulemaking at a subsequent business meeting following the close of the record. The agenda for the meeting and the staff memo for the deliberation may be viewed on the Commission's website when it becomes available in 5 to 7 days before the Commission meeting. I now declare the hearing closed. Thank you for coming, people.